He who strives for his own salvation or merely with a view of getting rid of suffering in the shortest possible way without regard for his fellow beings has already deprived himself of the most essential means for the realization of his aim. And this week's opening quote comes from Lama Govinda. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I will be your host for the next hour. You know, ever since I began coming here and speaking to you on this radio show, my goal has been to empower humanity into the rediscovery of themselves in an attempt to change the human condition. That has been my goal since day one. When you listen to the shows, going back to the early shows, even back to my first ever radio interview back in 2008, if you really listen to the shows, what it's been has been a quest for knowledge the whole way. I'm sure that if you listen to the shows, you'll hear my growth through the shows, and it's been interesting to hear and to watch the people growing with me. I can gauge the growth of the people by the emails that I get, by the comments that I get on my YouTube clips and the comments I get on Facebook and the messages that I get. I get lots and lots of messages from lots of people, and it's been very interesting to watch people growing with me through this journey, which has ultimately, as I said, been a quest for knowledge the whole way. And knowledge is an interesting and somewhat elusive thing. It really is. Very often we think we've found the answer to the great many puzzles that are out there. There's a myriad of puzzles out there for us. And very many times we believe we've found the answer to things, but it's always not quite what we thought. And the problem is that when we do believe we've found the answer to things, we often lock ourselves into that belief. This is something that I touched on last week. I did a show called PsyOps, Circular Arguments and Belief Systems in an Unfree World. And that's really what we've got here, folks. We've got a very unfree world, and we've got a lot of people locked into belief systems and a lot of people involved in circular arguments. And the result has been that we have failed to pay attention to what is actually going on in the world around us. The thing is, and this is something that I've touched on very much as well, and something that I touched on in my film, The Awakening. The thing is that we live in the now. That's where we are. We are right here, right now. That's where we are. And we're very often involved in trying to figure out how we got here, looking into the past and looking into all sorts of relics that are around the place, which is all very interesting and stuff that we need to find out, need to discover. I mean, I've always been firmly interested in the past and in ancient archaeology and all of this sort of stuff, because I believe that we're never going to understand where we are unless we can really understand the past. But again, when we look at it, all we can really do is speculate. We can gather information, we can gather data, and we can look at it, and we can sort of put it there on the shelf and have it there for future reference. But it's very important that we don't lock ourselves into belief with any of the data that we collect until we actually have the freedom to prove that belief to be true. And this is something that I really cannot stress enough, folks. It's so important that people do not lock themselves into belief systems with anything that they are researching, because there's always another doorway to open. But very often we don't consider that. Very often we simply lock ourselves into a belief and we stay there, and then we move forward from there based in that new perspective, which may or may not be the perspective that we should be in. It may or may not be true, because life is a journey of knowledge, and new knowledge is always going to flow in if you're open to it. But if you've locked yourself into a belief system, then sometimes you will not be open to it and there will be no growth. You'll simply stagnate from that point and you'll get stuck down a rabbit hole that won't really lead to where you hoped it would lead to. So that's one of the things we do, folks. We get stuck in the past, and very often we get stuck in the future. We get stuck in trying to figure out what we want to do or where we want to go, and we make all these plans. Often we make too many plans, so we never really get anything done at all. And we're often in fear of the future as well. You know, there's a lot going on in the world today to be apprehensive about, and there's a lot in our society which is designed to keep us in that state and to make sure we do feel apprehensive about things, even apprehensive about our normal everyday surroundings. I mean, that's what this society is, and it's very, very good at instilling this type of a feeling into people and locking people into this type of energy. And this also distracts them from the moment that they are actually in. and things that they could do to possibly improve that moment. And I think that's an important thing, because I think the distraction that we get from the now is very deliberate, and I think it's very effective. You know, I think that's why they put all of this stuff in our face. They keep us external all the time. They always give us this external stimulation, such as movies and sports games and whatever it is they can put in our face to keep us distracted from ourselves. And they keep us in a mindset, basically a programmed mindset by our television and education and all this sort of stuff, whereby they have us always in a state of stress about how we've been wronged or things that may have affected us in the past. So we use that to relate to our present moment, so we're kind of dwelling on that. So we're always in a state of turmoil over that which doesn't exist, that which exists either in the past or that which may happen in the future, neither of which exists right now. And really, folks, what exists right now, as far as the human condition goes, is a human family that is at loggerheads with itself, where each individual within this society is virtually at loggerheads with themselves, even within the society, apart from being at loggerheads with those around them. We see a society where so many people want to enforce their belief upon others, and they do so very often before they've even got any real true understanding of themselves. And that's a real problem. You know, we live in such a divided society because we really don't understand ourselves. You know, all of this division is born from a failure to look within and a failure to understand ourselves. I really do believe this. I mean, again, about belief systems, I mean, this is just my understanding. This is what I believe to be true because this is what I've experienced myself. So that's how I relate to it. See, that's how I relate to what I believe, folks. I believe that I've experienced for myself. And hey, I'm not asking you to believe what I believe. I'm simply sharing my experiences with you. But I have truly found that when you discover yourself, the barriers with other people break down. And that's not to say you're not going to get angry with other people. You're not going to get frustrated. You're not going to lash out. It's just the way it is, folks. That's part of being human. But you've got to really see within yourself and see the uniqueness and the purity and the beauty of yourself before you can really accept others for what they are. But I believe that once we can do that, we can change the human condition very quickly. I really do. You know, the early shows that I used to do when I used to come and talk to you back in 2009, 2010, way up to like 2012, 2013, were all very positive, very spiritual-based shows, very spiritually-based, very spiritually-oriented. They were all about the discovery of the self and the steps we could take to change the human condition by rediscovering the self. That was always my message in the early days, and it's still an important message. It's still something that people have to do. As I said a couple of weeks ago, the reason the shows have changed so much recently is because we're basically in a pretty desperate situation because of people's failure to do this inner work. I really think that's what's caused it. I really think that's what's brought us into this situation. And as the situation escalates, all of our response has been in arguing with each other, mainly in the alternate media and the response to the system. It's been a lot of arguing with each other over different ideas and different ways we could deal with things. There's been no real unity, and unity is really the only thing that's going to bring us out of this mess. And the problem is that there are so many people who have such incredibly conflicting belief systems in the world today, and it's these belief systems that clash. You know, I don't really believe it's even the people that clash. There's nothing wrong with the people. There's nothing wrong with people believing anything they want to believe. But it's when the belief systems clash. It's when the belief systems become absolute within the minds of the people and they truly believe that their absolute belief system must be taken on by others. That's when we have a problem, because everybody has their own belief system. Many people do. They have their own belief systems that are put in place and they're not open to change. They're not open to listening to anybody else's ideas or anybody else's concepts. Very often their minds are already firmly made up. And really, you can't blame people for being like this, because it's a product of this system. It's a product of this society. People are trained to think this way. That's what the whole education system's all about. That's what this whole social structure and business system is all about as well. It's designed to foster and nurture this type of behavior in people and this type of attitude in people. So we can't blame people for the way they do it. But I just think it's important that we notice it, and that we notice when we're doing it ourselves. If we've locked ourselves into a belief system and it's causing a conflict with someone else, then perhaps we should step back and we should really look at why that is happening. Look at the paradox of doing such a thing. very often we adopt a belief system that we believe will change the world if other people adopt it, and we enforce it on them, and then we get aggressive with them, and we try to ram it down their necks, and we start to hate them. And yet the reason we constructed the belief system to begin with is because we wanted to do something good for humanity. We wanted to change the human condition. And again, it's about changing the human condition, folks. There is no freedom that can be established for the individual. As I mentioned in the opening quote, if you try to take the short path and you try to do it for yourself while leaving the rest of humanity behind, then you've already left behind your greatest asset. So there's no point doing that. There's no freedom for the individual while the human condition remains in the state that it's in. We need to change the human condition and free all of humanity. And the only way we're ever going to do that is if we put down the barriers, stop locking ourselves into belief systems, and stop all the fighting, because it is the belief systems that cause all the fighting and all the animosity and all the conflict. It is the belief systems that stop any unified response to the system and any growth for human consciousness, and thus any change in the human condition. And honestly, folks, it's always been that way. Just look at religion. Look at the religious wars that we've had in the past. Look at the Crusades. All of these things are all based on belief systems. And even with the terrorism and suicide bombers that we see around the place, if you choose to believe such things, all of this sort of activity is, we are told, brought about by belief systems. I personally don't buy into what we're told all this terror activity is, but that's another story that I'll save for another show. In fact, I've touched on it many times before. But again, all of these things come from belief systems. Even the actions of Israel against Palestine, the belief of being God's chosen people and of having a right to the land, this is again a belief system, because you can't own any part of the earth. The earth owns us. We do not own the earth. In much of the animosity even that we see online, this is all based on people arguing their belief systems with each other. And all of it serves to divide the human condition further and further, and thus bring about the situation that we're currently facing, all again from our continual battle of beliefs and our fixation on that which is past or that which is present, and our failure to focus upon the now. You know, I often sit here and wonder what it would be like if humankind suddenly were to realize just how easily we could change the world. If people were to one day just wake up to themselves, just to get over themselves and to get over their feelings for other people and their feelings for other belief systems and get over their own belief system and just look around and take it all in and realize what we have here. Realize what we have the potential to create with what we've been given, what we've been gifted with. It's truly a gift, folks. This entire existence is a gift. You know, even with all its pain and suffering, it's still a gift. It's still an opportunity for us to step up to the plate and to discover ourselves. All of these things are opportunities, and all of this is a gift, and it truly is wonderful. And I sit here sometimes and I just wonder how long it's going to take mankind to realize that fact and to really see what we've been given here. You know, we continue to allow ourselves to be dragged into these ridiculous situations. You know, this whole situation in the world today, it's just absolutely absurd. All these fake wars going on everywhere, all these fake terror events, all of this pain and suffering that's happening everywhere, and all the legislation that's being brought into all of our countries as a result, and it's simply because we just allow it. We're just not paying attention. You know, we've never really discovered ourselves, and so we just sit back and we look at it and we feel powerless in the face of it, when really we're not powerless at all. And we could change things as soon as we want to, as soon as we remember who and what we are. We can just stand up and say, hey, we're going to do something else now. We've decided we don't want to play this game anymore. Because it is, it's a game. It's just a game of control that certain psychopaths have put in place. The controlling parasites have just put it in place, and they're just doing what they want to do because people are just so disempowered, because they're so divided, and they believe all of this stuff that they don't really know. And that's a real problem. You know, all we can really know is ourselves, ladies and gentlemen. That's really the only truth you'll ever know. That's the only truth I've ever known, is myself. I've searched for truths. I've searched for the ultimate truth. And the ultimate truth that I found really was that love will change the world. And that's the truth. But it's understanding what love is. What is love? Love is not fear. That's what love is. It's not fear. It's the opposite of fear. It's the other end of the spectrum. And even with my outburst the other day, folks, that wasn't made from fear. That was made from pure frustration. Pure frustration and passion for what I do. I have a real passion that we can save the world. I have a real passion for the human spirit, a real passion for this struggle that we're in. And I have a real desire to see mankind free. I really sincerely wish to change the human condition. That's why everything that I've done, I mean, I haven't done anything for money. I don't sell anything. I don't have any books. I don't sell my DVDs. I do get contributions to the website because I've spent all my money. I've spent all of my life savings attempting to get this message out to the world, this pure simplicity of how easily we could change the world if we simply respected each other, put all our stuff down, just turn to call this system out. It's really that simple. People think it's a big battle or it's a big struggle, you know, and it is. I mean, it's a struggle. Life is a struggle. This whole thing is a struggle. But the way out is really so ridiculously simple that no one can see it. And, you know, and people say, oh, you're just being silly. If we turn and call the system out, it's not going to do anything. They're just going to rah, rah, rah. Well, of course they are at the moment, but not if we respect ourselves first. If we can have that common unity in our community and the whole community just turns and says, hey, we're not going to do this anymore. We're going in another direction now. We're going to take the human spirit where it deserves to go because we're not interested in the rules and regulations that our employees are putting in place, which is destroying the world. I mean, we could simply say that if there was enough of us that stood up and said it. The problem is that we don't respect each other enough to form any type of united, coordinated, cohesive resistance to this system. And it isn't even resistance. We don't even need resistance. Resistance is a loaded term. What we need is response. And what we need to do is respond to this fear that is being pumped into the system, this fear that's constantly being pumped into the human race. And the only way to really respond to that is with love. That's how we change things. But we don't love ourselves, and so how can we love anything else? How can we really love the world? How can we really love the human race? How can we really love each other or respect each other or listen to each other's ideas or allow people to think differently to the way we do if we don't really love ourselves and know ourselves? Now, it's a circular battle even that we're fighting. You know, we're lost in a world of circular arguments, but we're even fighting a circular battle within ourselves because it's a paradox. We keep looking for things externally when it's that simple change of perspective and that simple internal shift of emotion that's going to change the world. It's just who is prepared to do it and who is prepared to apply it to the world. And folks, I'm not saying be all warm and fuzzy and lovey-dovey and walk around with flowers in your hair and smile at everyone and pretend that you're happy all the time. That's not what it's about. Having the respect for others to let them speak their mind and to let people have other ideas. And having the respect for yourself to speak your mind as well. Do not be afraid of showing your emotions, folks. I mean, I've often said that I'm angry. I'm really angry. I'm angry at what's been done to the world. I'm angry at what's been done to the human race. But I channel that anger into this calm dialogue that I bring you on the show every week. I channel it into something that I believe may be empowering for others. But that doesn't mean I'm not human and that I don't have emotion, that I don't sit here screaming at the wall sometimes because I'm just so annoyed at where this world is going and so thoroughly disgusted at what the ruling parasites are doing. Don't think that doesn't happen because it does, as I'm sure it does with everyone. We all have these moments, folks. But it's how we apply ourselves to the situation and how we apply ourselves to the people around us. Now, you can still be nice, you can be friendly, you can be empowering to the people around you, but again, don't be afraid to stand your ground. If people are putting you down, if people are saying the wrong thing, hey, don't be afraid to express yourself and put things right, because that's part of the warrior spirit. That's part of being who you are. Don't take a backward step to anybody, folks. Don't back down in anything that you do. Never, ever surrender. Your principles never, ever surrender who you are, because once you surrender that, you've surrendered everything. But again, what are you basing those principles on? Are you basing them on a belief system, or are you basing them on moral standards? Big difference. So it's important to maintain focus of all the aspects of what life is and all the aspects of what this journey is when you're trying to navigate your way through it. But ultimately, it's got to come down to respect. We've got to have this respect for each other so that we can turn and call this system out. I mean, what else are we going to do? Mount a revolution? Have a new political party? Have a big love-in in the town square? Put flowers in the rifle barrels of the soldiers. It didn't really work back in the 60s. I don't think it will work now. You know, I honestly think that what is needed in the world today is brutal honesty. Stop pulling punches. Stop being politically correct. Stop using soft language. Stop speaking in a way where people can maintain their little happy place they want to be in because they get offended by your words. There's no word or expression that should really offend anybody, really, unless people are speaking out against you, of course, unless people are saying terrible things about you. But no word, none of these swear words, none of this stuff, none of this is offensive, folks. These are just words. You know, we've been taught to view everything as offensive in this reality, folks. Apparently, the other day, a couple of weeks ago or something, this is how bad it's got. This is really how bad it's got, folks. There was a school where someone actually wrote on the sidewalk. I don't know whether it was a hopscotch pattern or they wrote Jill loves John or something. I don't know, but they wrote something on the school pavement. And some of the other children at school actually needed counseling to deal with the problem of having to deal with someone at the school who was so willfully damaging that they would dare to write on the footpath with chalk. That's how bad it's got in our society, folks. And when we've got a society that has got to a stage where people are offended by things like that, then I think we've got some serious problems that really, really do need looking at. And I think in the face of such offence that people are taking, well, I think we all need to get a little bit more offensive and start losing the soft language altogether and start putting things back the way they should be. And that means allowing people to speak their minds and allowing people to express themselves in any way they see fit, as long as it's not damaging someone else. And I truly fail to see how riding on a footpath with chalk is damaging anybody or anything. And again, even looking at this, folks, we can put it down to a belief system. The belief by the people in the school, the people who run the school, that they need to curtail this type of activity, the belief that chalk may be damaging to someone, when really it's just a child expressing themselves in the way children do and the way children have done since time immemorial, and the way we are preventing them from doing in the modern scholastic system. The modern scholastic system is in fact creating what are simply empty children. Children that are bereft of any creative potential because they're never allowed to express that creative potential. And it gets squashed, and it gets changed, and it gets weeded out of them on the way through the education system. Often this is done by their immersing these children into a digital world and a virtual world before they're even old enough to understand the world that they live in. And the results have really been catastrophic. When you look at the children that are coming out of school today, the human race is being changed, folks. And it's being changed in a very insidious manner. And it's going to continue, and it's going to get worse unless we take the matter in hand. But I think that's what this time is. That's an opportunity for us to do that. And that's why everything is in our face so much. I mean, that's why we've got the internet. We've got everything we need at our disposal right now, folks, so we can change the world very, very quickly if we could simply pay attention to the now. And I think it's important that we do. Thankfully, some people are, folks. Even some world leaders are. It was very refreshing the other day to see the leader of Hungary stand up and actually call things for what they are with the whole migration crisis that's happening in Europe. He basically just stood up and called it, folks. That was really good. And it's about time to see people doing that. You see, things are written the way they want them to be. You look at the Kalergi plan. You look at the Greater Israel project. You look at all the things that they have in the pipeline. And we see these things and we see it all unfolding around us. And we all go, oh my God, there's nothing we can do about it. But actually there is. All we have to do is stand up and call it. And it was very, very refreshing to see a world leader actually do that. I think his name is Mr. Orban. I think that is the president or prime minister of Hungary. I'm not sure whether they have a president or a prime minister. It must be one of the two. But his name is Mr. Orban. And I actually got it on the website. It would be in the recent headlines. And it was a wonderful speech. And that is a fine example of people calling things as they are and standing up to make a difference. And I think we'll see more European leaders follow suit. I think many of these European leaders are realizing that the EU simply doesn't serve them, and the EU Council simply doesn't serve them, and that Brussels certainly doesn't serve them, and that there is a higher agenda that is being played here. They're all being played, they're all being had, and what we're seeing here is the destruction of Europe according to the Kalergi plan. And it's going to continue if people don't stand up and call it, but thankfully we are seeing people do so. See, the things don't have to unfold the way they want them to, folks. Things are not always predestined. That's been one of the big things with this whole conspiracy movement and this whole conspiracy culture, the whole talk of the Illuminati and this terrible controlling hand, is that many people see that and they think it's all powerful and it's all controlling and there's simply nothing they can do to stop it. But in fact, nothing could be further from the truth. There is a great deal that we can do to stop things, and all we have to do is be brutally honest in our actions and keep love in our hearts with the things that we do. If we do that, then we'll make a difference. We really will, folks. That's really all it will take. But we've got to be prepared to do that. We've got to be prepared to stand up and make our voice count. We really do. And again, if we've got the respect of the people around us and we are respectful to the people around us, then you're going to find that when you do stand up, then there's going to be a lot of people stand up en masse with you. That's the point, you see. That's why respect really has to be the foundation of everything we do. You know, I believe that there's one rule in life, folks, one rule in creation, and that is service to creation. That it's not service to self at the expense of others, not service to others at the expense of self. It's service to all creation. And if we can be prepared to put our own personal differences aside and our own personal stuff aside and live our life in that way, then we will make a difference and life will reward us for doing that. I really believe it will. I mean, it has for me. Things have always worked out for me when I've been in that mindset. And again, it's difficult to stay in that mindset. You know, it's difficult to stay in a state of high vibration all the time simply because of the society we live in and the things we're subject to every day, especially doing what we do as an activist. You know, you put yourself in a position like this and you start speaking out, you put your face and your voice out there, and you find that you basically open yourself up to a massive amount of ridicule, a massive amount of hate mail, and a massive amount of backlash from people who really want to divert you from the path that you're on. But it's also important to remember that when this happens, it means that you are actually on the right path. If there are many, many people that are speaking out against what you're doing and are trying to divert you from what you're doing, then chances are what you're doing is really making a difference, and there's people that are very worried about it. So it's really good to step back and look at those sorts of things, folks, because as is often said, if you're not over the target, then you don't cop the flak. But I think we've reached break time here, folks, so I better leave it there for now and we'll go and have a break. Thank you for joining me on the air today. It's always a pleasure to have your company, and I'll speak to you again in a few minutes. Thanks for listening. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. So yeah, look, in talking about how we can change the world, how it's a battle between love and fear, and all we have to do is step into love, you've got to understand that it's gaining an understanding of what love is. As I said before, love is not fear. And that's what it is. You know, when I'm even saying you need to love yourself, you need to be in a state where you're not in fear of being yourself, not in fear of standing in who and what you are, because that is truly loving yourself. That's how it works, folks. It's the fear vibration that's always there that stops us being ourselves and prevents us from doing what we want to do and saying what we want to say and expressing our mind to the best of our ability. You know, we're curtailed in that. We've got to be politically correct in everything that we do, and we're always in this state of fear. I mean, it's just there dripping in the back of people's minds, something to be worried about. And that's not love. You know, when you begin to see that and begin to understand that that's what it is, it's not love. That's that feeling, that fear feeling, that worry, that concern that we always have in the back of our minds about whatever it is that concerns us. It's understanding that that is what this society generates. It's always there. That's the main purpose of this society, is to generate that feeling inside you, because that feeling is not love. And if you can look at it that way, perhaps you can gain a little better perspective on how this system works and how love and fear really do work to keep us locked into this system. It's how we express those two emotions. And it's even when we're looking at information and we attach a negative emotion to it, this is an emotion that is based from fear. For example, the information that I bring out about Gaza all the time, I don't see this as negative information, because I present the information to you out of love for the human beings that are suffering in that place. You know, I don't do it because I want people to be in fear of all the terrible things the state of Israel is doing. I want it to stop. I want to change the human condition. I want to free the people who are in these terrible situations. I want to free the people in Yemen. I want to free the people in Europe now as well from this ridiculous mass migration that is taking place in Europe. It isn't a refugee crisis, folks. The refugees have been coming in. This is long since ceased. Most of these people coming in are not refugees. They are migrants that have been brought in from all sorts of places in the Middle East and African nations and everywhere. And this is about the Kalergi plan. It's about destabilizing Europe. So people really do need to look at that. But even looking at that, there's so much animosity directed towards the refugees or the migrants, the people that are coming in, because they're seen as a threat by the people of Europe. But ultimately, the people that are coming in, the migrants, are victims as much as the people of Europe, because the migrants are being used as tools for globalism. This is just the way it is. And they're not really to blame for the situation that they're in. They've been forced into that situation by circumstances beyond their control. So it's important to maintain that focus. But getting back to the topic, folks, when you can see that this is truly a battle of love and fear, this entire existence is a battle between love and fear, and it is understanding that that can provide us our key to escaping this system and escaping this prison that's been created for us, you begin to see how easy it would really be. And, you know, you begin to see how the system works. As I was saying before, you begin to see why all of this negative stuff is generated into the system. You can see why the monetary system is put there, why we're kept in this constant state of scarcity, why we're always running on the treadmill, kept at loggerheads with each other, competing with each other, you know, fearful of what we may look like in the eyes of the rest of society if we don't have a big enough front door, you know, all of this sort of stuff. It's all designed to keep us in a state of not love. And that's what it's all about, folks. And when you can see it that way, things really become quite simple for you to comprehend. And it becomes very easy to see what the way out of this mess really is. You know, if you're involved in some sort of a divisive mechanism or a divisive movement, or you're having arguments with people rather than discussions with people, then you're in a state of not love. That's the way it works. And look, as I said before, sure, you can express your emotions, but don't do it from a place of hatred. Don't do it from a state of not love. Even in my rant that I published the other day, I've had a lot of people comment on that and say, oh, it's disturbing to hear so much hatred and anger. Folks, don't mistake passion and frustration with hatred and anger. I was very passionate in that rant, and I was incredibly frustrated at the fact that having these debates is like talking to a wall sometimes, and it really does get frustrating. But please do not mistake passion and frustration for hatred and anger. And you've got to keep an open mind, folks. You've got to keep an open mind on anything. Don't lock yourself into belief systems. It's really important. Like I said, I'm actually getting accused of not having an open mind because I won't lock myself into a belief system. And that's how these paradoxical arguments work. It's just all one big circular event that never really leads anywhere, that just keeps us at loggerheads with each other. And if we can put all that down and learn to respect each other and learn to respect each other's ideas and each other's opinions, then we actually might get somewhere. You know, as I've said so many times on the show, folks, I really do believe that this is an important time in human history. I really think that we are at a turning point. I think that we are at the time when humankind really defines itself by its actions. I think it's a time of enormous opportunity for the human race to move things forward and to really gain the freedom that we've always wanted and always needed and always craved. I really think that's what this time is. And the level of opportunity that it provides is absolutely unprecedented. I don't think there's ever been a time in human history, well, not anything that I can find, nothing that's been recorded anyway, that has afforded mankind the opportunity that this time now offers to us. Never before in history have we had the opportunity or the potential to be able to really bring about freedom. But now we have. And it's so important for people to realize the potential that their actions can generate at this time. You know, life is truly a gift, folks. It's a gift, and I believe it's also a test. It's a test of what emotional state we center ourselves in. It's a test of what we do with what we've got. And really it is a quest for knowledge, knowledge of the world that we live in, but also, most importantly, knowledge of ourselves. And ultimately, there's only one self, and when we figure that out, I think we're going to see big changes. Because that's it, folks. You can't ever improve the plight of the self by ignoring the plight of other people. You know, a lot of the self-help books that tell you to look inside and tell you to do all this inner work, I mean, there's a lot of inner work that needs to be done, but then, once you've done the inner work, you have to apply that understanding to the world that you live in. And if you've really done the inner work, then the barriers and borders that you have with other people are going to break down. You're going to be open to their point of view without insulting them for having it, and without attacking them for not adopting yours. And again, folks, that doesn't mean you're going to have to control your emotions. That doesn't mean you're going to want to be nice to people all the time. I mean, there's going to be times when you're just going to want to give people a mouthful and tell them to go away. I do it all the time because I'm frankly just sick of the trolls. And that's sort of the way I react to trolls now. I try a few words, and if they continue trolling, I just give them a mouthful and block them and tell them to go away because I've really got better things to do. And I'm sure you're going to find that as well. But I think a lot of these things are done online. I think a lot of the online trolling that we see actually, folks, is done specifically to keep people in an aggressive and argumentative state. I mean, we know that there are whole sections of the CIA. This is what they do. They go and troll social media and they post hateful and dissenting comments to lock people up in argument and just keep them occupied. And that happens a lot. So you've got to watch out for that. But in dealing with everyday life, if you can gain these understandings for yourself, it's really going to help you, especially in your response to the system. I mean, you know, when we look at this system, folks, there's so many people that try to develop new political parties or new this or new that or a new system or whatever, when really all we have to do is just be brutally honest and stand up and call it out as one human family. Just be brutally honest and call things for what they are. Stop being politically correct. You know, that would make so much difference, folks, if we did that. We don't really have to change the system. We don't really have to change anything. The system will change around us if we change our attitude and change our perspective. It'll be an organic thing. That's why we don't have to build any type of new society. We just have to change the way we approach this one by changing our perspective of who and what we are and how we deal with the people around us. And we absolutely have to change the way we deal with the politicians. That's for certain. We really do. We've got to stop seeing these people as our rulers and start seeing them as people, the way we are. They are just people, folks. And, you know, if we can realize that, I think we can reclaim the world quite easily. I really think we can. But it's going to take people putting down the fear of being themselves and not being afraid to step into who and what they are to do it. And look, getting back to belief systems and what people choose to believe and what people take on board in their own lives and the path for knowledge, the quest for knowledge that life is. The quest for knowledge is really a road that can be fraught with peril. It's a road that can be a dangerous road. It's a dangerous path, really, seeking knowledge. You know, some people go through their lives and it's just the experience. They just go through school, they get a job, they just do the normal things that normal people do. They accumulate stuff and then they sit back in retirement and enjoy the stuff that they've accumulated and kind of wonder what it was all about. There are many people who just do that, and that's the way they live their lives, and that's fine if people want to do that. But there are many others who are very much on a quest for knowledge, and I believe that's what life is. I think it's a myriad of things, really. I mean, it's a quest for knowledge. It's also, I believe, a quest for tolerance. It's a test of tolerance. It's a test of what we can do with reality and how we can harness our creative potential and use it to the best of our ability. This is just what I believe. This is my perspective of what we are here for. As I've said, I don't ask anybody to share my beliefs or take my beliefs on, but this is simply my perspective that I offer you for your humble consideration. But for those who seek the path of knowledge, it can be quite a dangerous road. Even with things such as doing ceremony, there's a certain amount of danger that comes with using plant medicines. It's certainly not the golden key that's going to deliver you to salvation. It's simply an exploration of the inner self and an understanding, hopefully a greater understanding, of what your connection to reality is. These sorts of things can be attained through plant medicines. But even with the knowledge that we seek, when we start reading things, we start gathering data from old books and things that have been written all over the place, it's important for us to understand that what we're looking at are people's perspectives based on the information that they had. Very often the books that we read are simply people's interpretation of other books that they read. And so it's really important to take these sorts of things into account. And when we take this sort of knowledge on board, it can often be quite dangerous because of what we can latch onto and mold into a belief system along the way. Very often we'll find little nuggets in different teachings and we'll accept certain parts of the teachings and we'll take that on board as a real possibility. And we'll find little nuggets in other teachings and then we'll take these on board. And sometimes we can end up with quite a convoluted understanding of what's really going on, and some knowledge can be quite dangerous. You know, you start looking into things such as Gnostic teachings, and this can be quite a heavy burden on the soul once you really start getting into it and start seeing the implications of the Gnostic vision being true. And if you take this belief system on as an absolute, it can be quite damaging to people. We've seen people such as Rick Clay quite possibly was affected by his research into Gnosis, and he was a great researcher, but bad things happened. And I've seen other researchers along the way just kind of drop off the charts and lapse into almost what is a form of madness due to the amount of information they've consumed and the amount of belief systems they've locked onto while consuming the information. And by doing this, people really do leave the path of knowledge, because it's the forming of belief systems along the way that prevents that path from ever furthering. And once they get locked into a belief system, then other information starts flowing in, very often people will lapse into madness or become very withdrawn, and all sorts of strange things can happen to people. And also, in amongst information that we're given is very often sigils woven into the information as well. And that might sound like a strange thing, but sigils and spells are absolutely true, folks. These things are absolutely real, and they are woven into political speeches, they are woven into books that we read, and just all the corporate logos. These are all sigils, and they all have an effect on us subconsciously. So it really is imperative that we be aware of what we're consuming and how we're consuming it, and whether we are creating belief systems along the way. Because honestly, folks, you should look at all things that interest you, you should look at, and you should consider all things. Consider everything, but believe nothing, because belief is the enemy of knowledge. And this is what I've done through my life, folks. I've looked at many, many things through my research over the years, and I've taken a lot of stuff on board and just kind of slotted it in the little library that's in my mind and kept it there for future reference. And I've entertained the possibility that all of these things that I've looked at could be true, and I continue to entertain all possibilities for all things. But I don't believe any of them, because life is an ongoing quest, it's an ongoing journey, and I'm only halfway through it. Well, maybe I'm a little bit more than halfway through it. I hope I'm halfway through it. But I'm sure there's more stuff to come in. And I'm sure there's many, many things that I have not yet experienced and not yet seen and not yet discovered. I'm sure there's many works that I haven't read. I'm sure there's many places that I haven't been and many people that I haven't met. So there is so much more for me to learn before I'm able to form any type of concrete image of what this life has really been and what this reality is. And I said in my little rant the other day that ultimately, in regard to reality, I don't have a clue what's going on, and it's the least of my concern. And the reason I said that, folks, is because who can understand reality? I don't think we'll ever be able to understand reality until we actually leave the physical world and leave this physical existence behind. Perhaps we'll understand when we reconnect to source. Maybe reality will become clear to us then. But at the moment, in my mind, in regards to reality, the jury is still well out, and I can't see them coming back in anytime soon. I mean, how do you explain reality, folks? It's a big question, and I'd be interested in anyone who believes they have the answer. Although I would suggest that such a person would probably be someone that we should stay well away from. What do they say, folks? Always respect those who are searching for the truth, but don't trust any who claim they've found it. Something like that anyway. And that's what it is, folks. It's a quest. This whole life is a quest. It's a journey. But if we can't be ourselves, if we can't put down the fear of being ourselves and be prepared to step into that and express ourselves to the fullest of who and what we are, then I think it's going to be an uphill battle. And in fact, I think it's a loss of that knowledge and a loss of that willingness to do that, and a loss of our need to do that, because we live in this nanny state now. We don't really have to look after ourselves. We don't have to learn what life is all about. We don't have to learn how to get along with the community or get along in the world or do any of the old ways or any of the things we used to do to live in this world in a peaceful and harmonious way. We don't do any of that anymore. We have everything looked after for us. We have everything on tap. Everything's available at the supermarket or in the shop down the road. And anything else we need, the nanny state will take care of us. And that's a real problem. And until we can just put that aside and actually take a little bit of responsibility for ourselves, and I think we're never really going to get anywhere, or at least have the desire to take responsibility for ourselves, the desire to look at the system and see it for what it is and realize that we can change things if we choose to. And that will be a wonderful moment if that ever happens. I mean, really, that is all it would take, is for people to have that realization. And I think people are having that realization now. There certainly are so many people that are waking up to the fact that this system is completely and utterly wrong, it is sick, it is corrupt, and it is destroying everything, and they want to know what to do about it. There are many people that are beginning to realize that most of the conspiracy theories that they've been told about are actually true. But unfortunately, of course, as I've said so often lately, there is a huge divisive mechanism in the alternate media and the response to this system right now. I think that has been inserted right now for a specific reason, and that is to divide the response right at this crucial time. And again, folks, this division has come about due to people adopting belief systems while they are still really on the path to knowledge. But so many things are a play, ladies and gentlemen. The people who are running this slavery system are extremely clever, and they've got a lot of bases covered. They really have, and they can predict a lot of what the response is going to be, and they know full well how to divide it. And they know full well the mindset of the community as well, because they've been mapping the human terrain for quite a long time. This is what they use search engines for, to get a line on not just what people are searching for, but what people are thinking. What people are thinking about, what people believe. They can monitor people's belief with social media and through search engine results and through their YouTube counts and all sorts of things, folks. They monitor everything. All the digital signals are all monitored. And so they know what the general mindset of the resistance is, and they know what to inject into the mindset of the resistance, and they know when to inject it in there, and they know the response that this is going to have. And it's important to step back and look at all of this and realize that all of this is a play. A lot of the whole conspiracy culture is a play. I've recently done talks that I've entitled Conspiracy Misdirection. I think I even did a radio show called Conspiracy Misdirection, where I pointed out that many of the rabbit holes that are put there simply to keep us distracted and to keep us guessing. And when we go down all these rabbit holes, we again adopt belief systems along the way. Well, very often, many people do. They adopt belief systems along the way, rather than simply considering all information as being a possibility and slotting that little nugget in their mind until they can find something else to confirm it. And keep going that way. They adopt the belief system as being true. Many of these things are savior programs as well. Savior belief systems, you know, the one secret, the one key that is going to save humanity. The one secret we have to reveal. The one piece of knowledge that I've got. The one piece of paper that I can sign. The one thing that I can say to a judge or a president. The one thing that's going to free me and free mankind. These are all savior programs. This is a lot of what the people who are waiting for aliens to come, or even people who are expecting a comet to hit the Earth or something like that, and we're all going to be wiped out. All of these things are savior programs. All of these things support the concept in people's minds that they don't really have to do anything major. They don't really have to do the inner work, and they don't really have to put down the fear. They don't really have to put themselves in a state of not fear and take responsibility for themselves. They just have to promote this one belief. And that will save everything, but it's simply not the case. And ultimately, folks, when you begin to look at it, you begin to see that most of these are simply programs that have been put there simply to keep us where we are and to keep us distracted, as I said, and to keep us waiting and believing that something good is going to happen, but it just doesn't really require our participation. And that's not true. Because reality does require your participation. That is, in fact, why you are here. Well, I would suggest that's a real possibility as to why you're here, folks, simply because you exist. I've always thought that would be a bit of a clue for people. As I've often said, folks, you exist in a 3D reality for a reason, and that is because you are here to participate in this reality and to participate in the experiment, which is human consciousness. And that experiment could very well be to discover ourselves and to realize our true creative potential. And that's what I've discovered through my path anyway. And again, folks, I'm not asking you to adopt my belief system. I'm simply sharing my perspective with you in the hope that it may change things and help you on your path. But really, it's finding what your path is, I suppose. I guess that's a quest for all of us, is finding our true path. And that's part of the journey as well. And don't let people push you onto a path that isn't your own, folks. Don't adopt someone else's path. It's your path through life. You can look at information that comes in from all areas and find what suits you, find what is going to help you through. But always remember that it's your path. There's no good attempting to copy the path of another. all of the books that people write to bring knowledge to people, I believe, are often written just in an attempt to share a perspective with people in a hope that it may help them on their path. But it's important that people always remember it is their own path, even with relationships, folks. That it is their own path. Even with relationships, folks, it's really important to remember that it is still your path. Even if you are in a relationship with somebody else, the path you are on is still your own. And that path should complement the path of your partner's, and your partner's path should complement that of yours. But you should always remember that it is your path, and you should honor the path that you are on. Never sacrifice your way for the will of somebody else. Because life is a journey, folks. As I said, it's a journey of knowledge, and it's a test. It's a test of all sorts of things, but it is such an incredibly beautiful gift and such a wonderful opportunity for all. And I really do see an incredible future unfolding for us if we can just step into the role that we were born to have. You know, folks, really the only truth that I can really claim to know completely is that life is a beautiful gift. It really is a beautiful gift, and I do know that love is the way through it. And the question is, what do you do with this gift? And always the choice of what we do with the gift of life is a choice that lays in our hearts alone. It's just that often we don't see the gift for what it is. We just take life for granted. Yeah, and that's a funny thing, isn't it? Taking life for granted. The fact that you are here, the fact that you're able to communicate with others, look outside, see the sky, see the birds, see the trees, swim in the ocean, the fact that you can hear my voice, all of these things are absolutely amazing. It's incredible. Life is truly a wondrous experience, and if we squander this gift, what will we be worth? What will the human race be worth if we allow a bunch of megalomaniacal control freaks, a cacistocracy, the worst people we could possibly have, to be in control of this world? If we allow these people to continue to do what they do, and we refuse to step into our power, and we engage in infighting and finger-pointing and screaming at each other and taking all of our pent-up emotions out on the people around us, what hope is there for the human race? How will we ever get out of this mess? How will we ever create the future that we want and that we need and that we deserve? It just won't happen, folks. It won't happen until we can put down all of this stuff and step into who and what we are. And this truly is the role that mankind was born to play. It's our destiny. Our destiny is to wake up and to be ourselves and to create to the best and greatest of our potential, and to honor those around us who are doing the same, and to turn this reality into something incredible. And we have every ability and we have every opportunity to do it. It's just when we're going to choose to put all our stuff down and get over ourselves and step into the role. And it is my great hope that we will choose to do that very soon. And I really hope the shows have helped those on their path to knowledge. And it's been wonderful to be able to come on and share my path and share my growth and share my perspective with you over these last years. It's been truly an honor for you to have given me the time that you have and to have listened to the shows. And I really do hope the shows have helped people on their own path. As I said, folks, that has been my goal right from the beginning, to change the human condition, because I really do believe that we can do it. And I believe the time that we can do it is now. But I've reached the end of the show, folks, so I'm going to have to leave it there. It's been wonderful talking to you today. I don't know if I'll be able to get a show done next week. I've got a lot of traveling to do, but I will try to get one done, but I can't guarantee it. Thank you again to anybody who has ever made a contribution to the website. It really is wonderful when people can help, and I thank those who can and those who do. But that is it for me, folks. I will look forward to speaking to you as soon as I'm able. Please take very good care until then. In Lakesh, my friends. In Lakesh.